Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, now we're at the time in our service, we put our hymn books down, and we want to pick up our Bibles and see what you have for us in your word. I pray tonight you would be glorified in everything that's said. As we continue on this theme of remembering things, pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember everything we ought to be saying, and that this would be a time well spent here by your people, one with another, especially in worship and praise of you. We'll thank you now in your name. Amen. In Psalm 22, we have a prophetic picture of the suffering Savior and unquestionably there are references in that 22nd Psalm that point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate. Verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Does that sound familiar? Sure it does. When our Lord was hanging on the cross, he cried out those words to the Father. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Look at verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my gesture. Surely, without any question, there are so many things in this 22nd Psalm that is a prophetic glimpse of the coming Savior centuries before he even became a man and dwelt among us. In that same Psalm, one discovers a thrilling revelation which spans the time from the cross to an event yet to be realized. An event of such proportion, it sounds almost unbelievable, but surely it will come to pass. Andrew, I have not forgotten. Here's the title tonight. They will remember. They will remember. For you note takers, that's the title of this one. Well, where and what is the event? That's our first point. The event. It's in verse 27. And what you're going to see this evening is perhaps this evening is going to be a bit different than many of our times where we gather together. We're going to be taking a lot of look at some scriptures and letting the scriptures speak for themselves. And we're going to say very little. That wouldn't be all bad, would it? After all, man's words are meaningless, but it's the Word of God that really is what we need to hear, isn't it? Well, as we look at the event, notice in verse 27, a few verses after we have looked at these prophetic utterances of things that were fulfilled during the life of our Lord when he was here on earth before he went to the cross, verse 27 in that same psalm tells us, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before you. The time is coming, so says the psalmist, that all the ends of the earth, the world, are going to remember. Remember what? They're going to remember the Lord. And they're going to turn unto the Lord. And it says, get this, not a lot of the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. But what does your Bible say? All the kindreds of the earth are going to worship the Lord. That's quite an event, isn't it? It's certainly not true today, is it? Certainly not. Can you imagine the reality of this? Just think of nations today. How many world nations have forgotten God? I hate to say it, but I'll say it. I think the United States could be the leader of the list anymore of the things that we are seeing going on in our lifetime. I have to confess, I am seeing, witnessing, hearing things that I never thought I would be witnessing happening in our country. After all, we're the country in God we trust. And yet, so much is happening, and it is happening so fast. We're not just, we haven't just stubbed our toes as a nation. We're falling head over heels toward destruction. Look, if you would, at Psalm 9, verse 17. As we think about the fact that Scripture makes reference to nations that have forgotten God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Could that happen to us? Sure can. Sure can. Turn with me to the New Testament as we think of Paul's writings in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and look at verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified or praised Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain or conceited in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look at verse 28, as Paul continues, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We don't even want to think about Him. We don't want to hear about Him. We don't want to see His commandments posted on walls. And so we pass laws that His words must be removed from places like public schools and other public buildings. Why? Because our nation came to the point where she said, we don't even want to retain or hold on to God in our knowledge. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we could give more references, and there's certainly more examples of this very thing, of nations that have no desire to know and hear about the things of the Lord. But our psalm tonight tells us in this 27th verse of Psalm 22 that all the ends of the world shall remember, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Him. Now, here's where we're going to just turn to some scriptures and let the scriptures speak for themselves. I don't know what to tell you. You want to write references down, or do you want to try to find them in your Bible? I'm not really going to give you time to do a lot. I'll give you the reference, and as soon as I can find it, I'm going to read it. So here we go. The first one I want to read is Psalm 86, verse 9. Psalm 86, verse 9. It says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to someday. All nations. Psalm 102, verse 15. Here we read, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. Hasn't happened yet. It's going to someday. Psalm 67, verse 7. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Something's going to happen. Our world is not like that today. But as we see, and as we're going to be seeing in Scripture, something is going to happen and is going to change the hearts of the people of the nations. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Speaking to a day in the future when the center of the world is going to be Jerusalem. And the eyes of the world's people are going to be turning toward Jerusalem. Oh, there's a lot of attention in Jerusalem, but it's words of criticism and anything but praise. But the day is coming when that they're going to be, because they want to worship the Lord. Zechariah chapter 8. You say, boy, Pastor, if we're supposed to find these, some of these places aren't the easiest to find. Well, I know that. Zechariah chapter 8, and we look at verses 20 through 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of one of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we want to go with you, because we've heard that God is with you. Wow, that's never happened yet, has it? If you haven't figured it out yet, you say, I wonder when these things are going to be taking place. Anybody have a clue when it's going to be? What kind of time are we describing here? How about the millennium? When our Lord Jesus Christ is literally, actually, physically sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem and is ruling and reigning the nations of the world from Jerusalem. And these are descriptions of things that's going to be the attitude of nations during that time when the Lord is ruling and reigning on the earth. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And verse 23. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And we start at verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Revelation 15, verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest. We go back to Psalm 22. Our text this evening. And why have we been looking at all of this? Because the 27th verse in this psalm so distinctively picturing what our Savior was going to be going through in order to bring about your salvation and mine, a few verses later it describes that all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. We've seen examples of Scripture. We're living in a day and age when many people don't want to remember the Lord. But the day's coming, they'll all remember and turn to the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before Him. Now, here's our question. What brings that to pass? What brings that to pass? And the answer is, as we move from the event in verse 27 to the explanation in verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. The kingdom is the Lord's. We've just referred to a few moments ago. The events that we are describing are going to be taking place when the Lord rules and reigns actually literally on the throne of David. You know, to this day, the Jewish people, though they don't know the Lord, those who are devout Jews and still are searching the Scriptures, they are looking forward to the day when their Messiah is coming. He came, but they didn't know it. Their eyes were blinded. He came to His own, John says, but His own received Him not. But multitudes down through the ages of Jewish people have still, in unbelief, been anticipating the day when their Messiah is truly going to come, when He is going to rule and reign. He is going to put down all opposition. He is going to exalt His people and put them in the place of recognition and glory in the eyes of the world. And here in verse 28, there's that event. The kingdom is the Lord's. It always has been. It just, He hasn't sat down on the throne yet. It hasn't been the Father's time for His Son, our Savior, to take control of his kingdom here on earth, but it's going to happen someday. And we find there's going to be the recognition of the fact of Jehovah's universal sovereignty. As Jesus sits on the throne of David as Messiah, as King of Kings. And when that happens, listen to the things that Scripture talks about as we once again let the Scriptures teach us. Habakkuk, that's a little 3-chapter book tucked way back in there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I've told you before, I don't know about yours, but my minor prophets, they shift places all the time in the back of my Bible. They really do. They do everything they can to keep me from finding them. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of what? The glory of the Lord. Just like the waters cover the sea." You say, "Pastor, do you think that's going to happen someday?" Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. People are going to know about him. People who, in our day and age, we don't want to hear about that. We don't want to know about that, but the day is coming when the Lord is going to change people's hearts. And there's going to be the knowledge of the glory of the Lord globally. Globally. How could that happen? How does the world get filled with knowledge in our day and age? Huh? Internet, TVs, iPads, radio. Do people still listen to radio? There's so much anymore on internet. But I've told you before, way back as I was growing up and I heard of things like this, I wondered how could this be that the whole world, I don't wonder anymore. The technology of our day and age, it's amazing. And things can happen in one side of the globe and in microseconds, people on the other side of the globe already know about it. They're getting pictures of it. It's news to them as it's happening. I don't know how God's going to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. Could be he's going to use that technology that we see present today, or something yet that hasn't even been unfolded, but it's not going to be a problem to our Lord. When it says that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Even so, what? Lord, come quickly. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Nine and 10. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Huh, sounds like Habakkuk. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or a signet of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Once again, the picture of the coming day. And as we think of this, we could turn to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Zechariah 14, verse 9. And it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." As we think of this, we think of, are you really sure, Pastor, that this is all going to take place? Sure we are. Psalm 72, verses 8 and 11. Psalm 72, verses 8 and 11. Helps if I'm in Psalm 72. "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." Verse 11, "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him." Why? Because the day is coming, we saw, when all the ends of the world are going to remember and turn unto the Lord. In the day when the kingdom is the Lord's and he is governor among the nations. Hasn't happened yet, but someday it's going to be a reality. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 tells us this. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the" what? "The kingdom of our Lord." All the world kingdoms. "And of our and of his Christ." And when that happens, "he shall reign forever and ever." We close with a very familiar verse. Perhaps you're thinking, why should this be even taking place? How come we would anticipate this to be occurring someday? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," what's going to happen? "Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's why. Because our Lord is worthy of the worship. The Father gave him that honor. And someday, the world is going to remember. Someday, a world that has, at this point, no interest, for the most part, in hearing about the Lord, but someday they're going to realize he's worthy. He's worthy. He truly is King of kings and Lord of lords. What a day that will be in the future. We're going to be there, beloved. Won't that be something? Well, I'm unsaved as well, though every tongue is going to confess. Not just the Lord's people praising, but the day's going to come when every tongue that refused to give him the glory and the honor in this life, the day is going to come in the future when the Father is going to see to it that his Son gets the glory that his Son is worthy of. What a day that will be. Well, I trust this was a blessing to you this evening. We looked at a lot of references, didn't have a lot of man's things interjected in there, but that's good, because God's word has been so encouraging and enlightening as we've looked at its truths this evening. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for what we could see tonight. We thank you for the truths regarding your Son and the coming day. Lord, this is not, do you suppose it's going to happen? We've seen pictures in your word which have explained to us very clearly this will take place someday. And Lord Jesus, you will get the glory you rightfully deserve because of what you have done in our behalf. And we look forward to the day when the things we've read of this evening will be living reality. Take us safely to our homes. We'll thank you in your name, I pray. Amen.